Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for Beginning of the Week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We had a wonderful and a restful weekend, and I'm really happy to invite to the program today Bob Bartholomew. Bob is a friend I've known for many, many years. He and his wife Janine are dynamic followers of Jesus, and he's a father, he's a grandfather. I asked him to come in and just share some of his story, his testimony. Sometimes we have experts on the program, but I love bringing in people like Bob because they've been living and following Jesus for a long time. He's had a career, he's done very well, and all along he's been focusing on just a yes to Jesus day after day. And we hope we can keep him here for a few days anyway to talk about it. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to be here. Thought it'd be great to just kind of share your testimony and how faith came alive in you.
Sure.
Because I've known you for a long time, and you've been fervent for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that. I look at myself a little differently, but I did come to the Lord when I was a senior in high school through Campus Crusade for Christ. I wasn't Catholic at that time. And my sister shared with me the four laws, and I was laying in bed that night, and I said, God, if you're real, come into my life. It sounds like I'm talking to a wall, but if you're really there, come into my life. And that was the beginning, and I knew what it was real, but it didn't really sort of take effect, I wouldn't say, for another year or two. And then I traveled out to Camp Crusade for Christ in San Bernardino, California, and I was at a week-long seminar, and they really talked about the good stuff about being a Christian, but they also said, you know, you've got to count the cost. Jesus wants people to help him bring people to himself, and it's not pie in the sky, and yet it's a good life. So that made a difference. And then I began to take little devotional times, read the Bible, and so it became more of a real thing. And I think those little devotional times helped me know that it was a real thing. And I would talk to God sometimes in that solitude, and occasionally when I was driving around or something. Then I became part of a Christian community in Ann Arbor, and they were sort of into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had actually read Don Basham's book, and I had prayed, and I had prayed in tongues, but it was good, but it simply was sort of matter of fact, you know. And so I knew I always had the goal of being all out for Jesus and wanting to evangelize and stuff like that. But I think I didn't really know how, didn't really know really what to do. So I went into kind of, you know, a reasonable time in my life where I got a job, I worked, I was real rigid on my prayer times, an hour a day, no matter what, you know. In fact, I was so rigid that people said they only did it 80% of the time. I thought, I do it 100% of the time, you know. And I didn't realize, I mean, so that, I think I had a good life. The Lord has reminded me just in the last day or two of how much he was with me during those times, and how much he loved me and pleased with my goal of trying to follow him and wanting to be with him. And I was part to different services and stuff in this Christian community, did some evangelism, was part of a men's group. I think what I didn't realize until about 5 or 6 years ago, I had kind of an epiphany, which was pretty exciting. I was taking this course on the Holy Spirit, and the first 8 weeks they talked about stop being a performer and just let God be with you. I went, oh, okay. And I knew that people-pleasing wasn't a good thing. I mean, it hurt. You hear that, you know, you don't want to be a people-pleaser. But I wanted to be a God-pleaser, and the best way I could do that was, you know, take my prayer times and just be as kind as I could, stuff down the anxiety, the depression, the anger here and there, just do the, you know. And I read the biography of Catherine of Siena. I loved her self-knowledge idea. I loved her saying things like, when you're really close to the Lord in the Eucharist, you can be that close when you're home in your bedroom. You should be that close to God. And that was neat. So she sort of became a little bit of my mentor, you know, reading her stuff, listened to Ralph Martin give talks, I got to get with you a time or two during all those 20, 30 years, you know, and talk about the Holy Spirit. That was very inspiring. So I always enjoyed getting together with you, you know, talking about different people that had the Holy Spirit. So I was pretty easily enthused about trying to follow the Lord, you know. But when I, like I said, when I took this course, it was the Encounter course, which is kind of a modern-day Catholic charismatic renewal, if you will. They sort of teach about the Holy Spirit. And starting out just trying to be with the Lord. So about 2 weeks into the course, I went upstairs to go to bed, laid in bed. And it was kind of like all of a sudden I sensed God's love for me in a very deep way. Kind of like I had occasionally in my life up to that point. Like if I was being prayed over by a couple people or something. It was very, very close. And I said to the Lord, I said, you love me this much? You know, the old Milwaukee commercial flashed in my mind, like, it doesn't get any better than this. Seriously, you know, I know that sounds a little funny, but I did kind of say that to God. So the next night I go upstairs, well, I'm a little tired. I wonder if that'll happen again. Probably not. Boom, same thing happened. So for like 15 nights in a row, I just sensed God's presence very deeply with me. And I was pretty sure it was a good thing, pretty sure it was the Lord. I didn't want to be delusional, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'd heard of people going to certain things and breaking down and crying and, you know, for hours on the floor or something like that. And I thought, well, this is a better version for me if it's real.
Yeah.
Yes, I can handle this.
Yeah.
So kind of.
Can I just one question?
Sure,
you
sure,
were saying
sure.
You're talking about performance mentality.
Yeah.
This is a moment where. So help us understand what you meant by that, because I think you were saying initially you're quite fervent in the sense of daily prayer and the habits
yes.
of the Christian life,
yes.
and you were determined to be faithful to habits,
right?
Which habits are a good thing, you know,
right.
they're a good thing, but
right.
they're not the whole thing,
right?
And so
right.
the Lord has kind of led you into something more.
Yes.
Sounds like that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I think the. The fruit of being a performer, I think, was I began to see that I was judging other people according to how well they did the same thing as I was doing. And we were all trying to do the best we could for the Lord. And we knew we shouldn't just perform or try to look good. But in some ways, that was a little bit my modus operandi, to be honest, inside my heart and my brain. And so when they would teach us, you know, you don't need to worry about that. God will take care of you. The Holy Spirit can work in you. Just relax, you know, and kind of like be a son of God rather than run around like a son of God. Maybe that's a good way.
Yeah,
to say.
And as you're talking, the thought comes to my mind, Bob, just how sometimes in families you might have a situation where a child feels like he has to perform in order to get his father's attention or something.
Yes.
I heard an amazing testimony a few years ago by a archbishop who's a fantastic guy, and he talked about how just recently in his life the Lord brought a profound healing to him, his heart, and he's just full of freedom and joy.
Yeah.
He said it was like a new life for him, and he said that his whole life he worked hard to achieve to get his father's attention.
Yes.
And his dad was demanding, and he was very successful, mm-hmm. first in his class, all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And he never felt like he quite made it.
Yes.
But he checked all the boxes.
Yes.
And he said it became a habit of checking the boxes.
Yes.
And even through his priesthood, although he's a good priest and all that, but it wasn't until even later in life, and you're just describing similar kind of thing, that
yeah.
the performance piece is not what it's about. It's
right.
it's living in the love of the Father.
Yeah, yeah. Living yeah. in the love of the Father, really receiving what I call his hesed love, the word hesed in Hebrew. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but it means loving kindness. Is some people think that's the best translation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... For a while, when I'd tell people what was going on with me, the good stuff, I would say, hey, I just understand how much he loved me more. You know, he loves me more, and then I can be this conduit to help other people love other people. And I stopped sort of judging and comparing, and I reread The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And, you know, when I read it the first time 45 years ago, I was inspired, you know, to talk to God a lot, and so try to be in a conversation, and I tried my best. It was hard, kind of, you know, to keep up during the day and stuff, and so I didn't worry about it too much. Then I read it again, thinking, there's something about Brother Lawrence that I think I'm experiencing, and it's got to be more than just talking to God all the time. And so the second time I read it, which was just really a few years ago, what I struck was how he was just in God's presence to the point where he sort of wept and was always going, oh my gosh, you just love me so much. And he'd almost get distracted from his chores, even though he would do his cooking and his cleaning or go buy stuff for the brotherhood that he was a part of. But I said, that's kind of what these things at night have been. And then those times at night became times in the mornings. So I'd get up for, then it'd be, they became an hour long. So an hour at night, I'd be lying in bed, sort of almost on the point of tears, being in God's presence. I'd wake up the next morning and do the same thing. I was thinking, my goodness, this is happening to me, and I still have vices, and I still have sins, you know? And I thought, okay, you know, so I knew some stories about Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross, where they sort of gradually get to the point where they're really holy, and then the Lord kind of gives them this contemplative prayer. And I was experiencing it, frankly, I think, kind of as remedial. Lord, you know, I'd been a performer for 45 years, trying to do the best I could, you know, in a good way. But he just, I think he was just showing me, you don't really have to do anything. Just be with, I'd rather have you just be with me. And so the verse, seek my kingdom first, just made more sense. You know, it's, you just sort of do less, and you just be with the Lord more. And I kind of got this idea that since I retired, that I could just either be with the Lord, sort of like maybe a monk would, although I do enjoy watching TV shows or being with friends and stuff. Not quite an austere life, but then when I'm going into a situation with people, I can just say, Lord, you know, if you want me to have a discussion with somebody and tell them about the joy I've experienced and the miracle you've done in my life, you know, I want to be willing to do that. And so that's sort of been my modus operandi since then.
Yeah. I think that in some ways, Bob, that transition from a performer, or in the sense of just being clear on what I'm required to do, because you want to be obedient, because we're called to obedience, and then moving the grace of God as we continue to pursue Him over time and maturing, He leads us to the spot that you're describing, the experience that you're describing, of, because what He wants to do and what Jesus wants us to come into is Jesus's knowledge and experience of the love of the Father. And the whole Christian journey really is going in that direction, you know, because we're now in the Son, and He's giving us through the Holy Spirit a power and a capacity to be able to see ourselves differently, see ourselves in light of the Father, the love of the Father, the gaze that Jesus lived in and for all eternity, and which He loved, and which is what He, from His total love of the Father, is where His desire to obey the Father came from, express that in so many ways. But can you stay with us for another show?
Sure.
At least? Okay,
sure.
Great, Bob. Yeah. Thank you for sharing today. But friends, hope you can join us again tomorrow. Invite your friends to join, and Bob's going to continue to talk about some real practical things that the Lord led him to do. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.